This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and in the studio with me is Audrey Raj. And it's a Friday today. Yeah. And we have some pretty Friday stories, including one very big one on psychopathic bosses.
Yes. Are you working for a psychopath? Are you displaying psychopathic behavior? All will be revealed.
Yeah. But before we kick off today's show, McDonald's responded to their anti-Trump tweet by deleting it and saying that their Twitter account was actually hacked. And I know a lot of people are probably disappointed, you know, because of all this. But McDonald's actually tweeted out, for those of you who don't know, they actually tweeted out something quite mean. They said, you know, you're actually a disgusting excuse of a president and we would like to have at Barack Obama back, which was briefly pinned to the top of McDonald's page. And then in concluded, it also said, also, you have tiny hands at the end of the tweet. You know?
Like the first part didn't hurt already, you know. And because a lot of people were suddenly cheering for McDonald's for taking this epic stand against President Trump by outrightly insulting him on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, and a lot of people are not buying the "we were hacked" excuse though, and they're saying that it could have been maybe an intern or a trigger happy, or you know, maybe a tweet happy employee, and Trump will know what's that. Like,
yeah,
sure. And also, or just, you know, frustrated employees on his last day before leaving the company. All of course of this is just speculation, and we have to believe what McDonald's is saying, which their Twitter account was hacked.
Yeah, so it's McDonald's versus the Donald. You know? At this point, it doesn't matter if they were hacked or not. That screen grab of their tweet saying Trump has small hands has gone viral. Probably 1 billion served just like their burgers. Yeah, but I guess any publicity is good publicity if you think about it. And for a small moment in time, McDonald's was the undisputed king of the internet, if you could call them.
Speaking of the internet, we actually have a very surprising study on e-books, because apparently it's e-books will not survive much longer because most people, especially these younger generations, they prefer print instead.
Yeah, talk about a plot twist, right? Now, there's a study on The Guardian that revealed that e-book sales are falling while sales of paper books are actually growing. And this shift is being driven by younger people who prefer physical books instead of digital ones. So let me throw some numbers your way. More than 360 million books were sold last year, 2016, which is a 2% jump from the previous year, according to findings by the industry research group Nielsen in its annual books and consumer survey. They have surveys for everything, you know, Nielsen. And the data also revealed that revealed good news for bricks and mortar bookshops, with a 4% rise in purchases across the United Kingdom.
Yeah, and none of this actually makes sense, because e-books shouldn't be failing, but they are. And sales for e-books are actually declining, 4% last year, which makes this second year in a row that e-book sales have fallen. And if we move back to another year, in 2015, the Publishers Association found that digital content sales had fallen from £563 million pounds in 2014 to £554 million pounds, which, you know, it doesn't sound like a huge number, but it's still a decline nonetheless.
Now, this is where things get really interesting. You know, this shift from e-books to physical books is actually thanks to the explosion in adult colouring books.
Ah, yes.
You know,
yeah,
saw
I love
the craze
those.
In the office,
I have a few of those, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And also, like, it was a year of high-profile fiction releases, including The Girl on the Train by Paula Hawkins.
Yes.
I have that. And Ghost at a Watchman by Harper Lee. So you have to wonder, if e-books found a way to let you colour digitally, would they be able to survive against physical books? I mean, we have tablets and styluses. So what's stopping people from colouring those same books on their mobile devices?
You're right. You know, maybe it is the feel of, you know, actual colours on real paper that's attracting people. Nielsen survey has a different finding. They said that the increase in print sales is because of children's fiction, and that kids like physical books more than, you know, swinging a Kindle around. That's exactly what a survey by the youth research agency VoxBurner found, that most 16 to 24 year olds, they actually prefer print books than e-books because they just like to hold the product.
Makes sense. The tangible quality of those books, I guess. You know, I personally, I love the smell of paper, Jeff, you know, especially in used books. But of course, you know, here's a warning. Don't take too deep a breath when you inhale those old books, because you know that smell of ink can overwhelm you. You end up with a headache for a day. And listen to this. The research director at Nielsen Book Research in the UK, Steve Bohm, he presented all this data ahead of this year's London Book Fair fans said that young people were using books as a break from their devices or social media. This is good news, actually. You know?
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder if the younger generation are already feeling a sense of technology fatigue, maybe?
Possibly. I mean, we're so conditioned to believe that the future will be super techy, modern, but, you know, maybe people are actually just tired of constantly being on social media. Who knows, right? And here's another interesting find from a Nielsen study. Mobile phones and tablets overtook e-readers like Kindle and Nook as the most common device used to read e-books. It's a bit weird, right? So, so basically, you know, people are slowing the interest in dedicated e-readers as well.
Because you have the reading mode on most phones and tablets. Now, it's so much more convenient.
I use it all the time. Yeah,
it still doesn't match the ease of using a Kindle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't want to carry too many gadgets around, I guess. And just keep in mind that these figures are still higher than 5 years ago, but the climb has sort of plateaued in some places and declined in other categories. The study also revealed that ebook sales will continue to decline this year, 2017, unless there's a major new development in e-reader technology. So for now, physical books that smell like old bookshelves and freshly printed ink, they are back in business.
I think actually it's not more of the carrying devices, because I'm fine with carrying my iPad along with my phone and maybe a book. And the reason why I probably don't read on my iPad as much as I would to read a physical book is because then I have more devices to charge.
That's true, yeah.
And I'm just so tired of charging everything. I've got to charge my phone, got to charge my watch, got to charge my iPad, got to charge my camera. Like, how many things I want to charge here?
How many PowerPoints do you need at home too?
Yeah, so maybe, you know, e-books does still, you know, it might be taking a hit, but AR, augmented reality, and self-driving cars, they are not taking a hit. And guess who wants to be in line in the AR in vehicle business? It's none other than the giant Alibaba.
I would pretend to be surprised, but, you know, who would be surprised at this?
Yeah, so we know that driverless cars are the way of the future. I mean, practically every big innovative player in the West is currently collaborating with a tech giant to put on an autonomous vehicle on the road. But have you ever wondered what you'd be doing in a car if you weren't driving it or having to pay any attention to maneuver around it?
Reading my book? I don't know. Well, of course, the Alibaba has thought of this.
Yes.
You know, and in a driverless future, Alibaba imagines cars, not just smartphones, to be our portal to e-commerce and entertainment. How convenient. And they've already started to put plans in place with their Apple CarPlay-esque system.
You know, I'm going to be so broke when these things happen. I'm going to be shopping while I reach, you know, while I get to office, I'll be shopping. While I'm at work, I'll be shopping. Going back home, I'll be shopping. I don't know where the money's going to come from.
I feel you, Jeff.
So just this week, the Chinese e-commerce giant led an $18 million Series B round for Weiray, which is a Switzerland-based startup specializing in augmented reality products for cars. They've been working on AR navigations for a while now, and you know, the kind that, you know, overlays direction onto the car windshields. Quite cool stuff. Iron Man.
Well, Weiray was only founded back in 2012. It's only been a couple of years, but they've spent the last 4 years developing patented holographic AR displays that projects images onto a special film, not directly on your windshield, you know. And if you're worried about distractions and driver safety, was just the first thing that I thought of when I read this story, right? The startup insists that it has conducted numerous eye-tracking tests on drivers to determine where they look in different situations when they drive. And they've already had three test vehicles driving around Moscow.
Wow. And Weiray is now set to partner up with Banma Technologies, a joint venture in Alibaba and the SAIC, which is one of China's largest automakers. The startup will build an AR interface, as in augmented reality, for one of Banma's 2018 models with the interface capable of displaying driver assistant notifications, navigation information, a virtual desktop, again, think Iron Man, I'm guessing, you know, and a whole bunch of cool stuff. The startup actually plans to launch two standalone products this year. The first one is called Navion, which is an AR navigation system, and the second one is called Element, which is a smart car tracker. It also plans to develop embedded AR interfaces in other car manufacturers in China and also the US.
The question I was thinking about when I read this was, you know, what is Alibaba doing getting into the car business?
Yeah.
But this isn't Alibaba's first foray into cars. You know, last July, the shopping firm partnered with SAIC again to launch Row RX5 featuring Yun OS, which is Alibaba's operating system for smart devices such as fridges and phones. And the RX5 drivers can access various online services in their car, such as booking and paying for parking spaces via Alipay.
Ah, yeah. So if you think about it, WayRay's holographic AR interfaces, which responds to both voice and gesture control, will fit well in Alibaba's car plans.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the global connected car market expected to reach US about 180 billion plus US dollars by 2022, actually, you know Alibaba will want a piece of that pie.
Of course they will. No, who wouldn't want a piece of that pie?
Yeah. Anyways, we'll take a short break right now, but when we come back, we will help you to identify if you are working for a psychopath.
Hmm.
Yep, I did say that. Now, you don't want to miss that. EBB will be right back after this music by Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros with Home, BFM 89.9.
Business for Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
And we're back. This is The Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff, together with Audrey. Now, you know why shows like American Idol get so much traction? I don't watch it, though. Do you actually?
I used to. I think I'm fed up.
I think I watched the first two seasons. And then after that, I was just like,
I think I did maybe
boring.
About five or six.
Wow, semangat. Now, well, that's because many of us humans secretly want to be a musician, a composer, or even a rock star.
Dreams, right?
Dreams. Now, anything to make music. Because, you know, music can feed your soul in a sense, right? Well, guess what? Dream on, because AI is like a virus that is just slowly encroaching into different territories, and now they can generate music as well. And I'm talking about personalized music.
Oh, boy.
I just really don't know how to feel about this anymore. Like, even musicians now just don't have a chance to stand in the future.
I know. So, you know, on Wednesday, we spoke about AI with a memory. Then yesterday, a robot that can drill your skull. And today, it's artificial musicians. Mm. You know, you can blame Amper for that last one. So Amper is a web-based service that uses artificial intelligence to create music based on a few user-defined parameters like mood, the era of your interest, and your genre. So for example, you can churn out exciting classic rock or brooding 90s pop. And from there, you can swap out different virtual instruments and change parameters like tempo and the length of your song. So you know what? This actually sounds pretty cool.
Because I get to play around with some stuff. I will just have to watch. Just watch how it's sort of like slowly taking over, you know, even the creative jobs, right? And I'm going to sort of sink back down to the present now, because today the startup actually announced an integration with Adobe's Creative Cloud and the launch of its public API. The CEO of Amper really believes that the future of music is going to be created through a collaboration between humans and AI. Why not, right? So yeah, basically, I just don't get it. Like, why not maybe, you know, collaborate with other composers? I mean, it's not like musicians are not, you know, already finding it hard to get a job. Now we're going to be replaced by AI.
Kasi chandlan. But okay, calm down here. You know, I mean, there's more to this. The music that Amper creates isn't going to win any Grammys or show up on a Spotify playlist. So
For now.
So professional musicians still have their stand for now, you know. The simple, inorganic sounding songs it creates are more akin to what you'd find in a stock music library. So its integration with Adobe's, that's why they're integrating with Adobe software. You know? So specifically, people using Adobe Premiere Pro can use Amper to generate songs natively inside the popular video editing software.
In the near future, when, you know, AI is making music, don't you think it would be so weird to see an AI go up on stage to receive a Grammy and the robot, you know, thanking its creator and so forth?
You think the robot would thank its creator?
Well, okay. Anyways, Amper is designed to be utilized by non-musicians like me without any fuss. The interface may resemble a digital recording software, but only the input, besides the algorithm under the hood, are buttons clicked by the user to set various parameters for each track. In addition to choosing different styles, moods, and tempos, you can actually hand select different musical instrument sounds, you know, like toggling guitars, drums, synthesizers, and also other instruments off and on.
Yeah, so Amper's expansion marks a small milestone on a path towards a future that will both excite technologists and, if you think about it, horrify all those artists out there. So, like it or not, computers are learning to write songs.
Yeah.
And Amper joins the likes of Google Brain's Magenta Project and IBM Watson, IBM's Watson AI platform in pushing artificial intelligence towards more creative modes of thinking and teaching computers to create music. And while the results are not exactly the type of thing you'd zone out to during your morning commute. This music could easily find its way into the background of ads and games and retail environments. Mm.
I'm going to meet IBM's Watson over the weekend. So I'm going to ask if Watson is doing music as well. So hopefully we'll get some answers from there. Anyway, so for songwriters, the notion of computers learning how to compose music is nothing short of cringeworthy. In an era where, you know, music consumption is shifting towards streaming platforms and the economics are still sort of shaking out from artists and songwriters, it's just another tech-inspired anxiety to add into the list, right? And while these songs don't actually quite have the emotional or maybe the artistic appeal of a human-created music, technology, especially AI, they evolve so quickly, man. Be careful, man.
And it's not hard to imagine machines disrupting the market for low-end stock music compositions or even mimicking the formula for electronic dance music in the future. You know, EDM, right? Yeah. Like, this sounds like the closest thing that they could come into. But these machines may not one-up your John Lennon and Paul McCartney or outproduce Beyoncé's next record. But it's only 2017, Jeff, and the fusion of AI with music-making creativity is apparently just getting started.
All those bad commercials that we see with horrible music should be replaced with AI music, because I think AI music will be way better than that.
That I second, right?
So it looks like the teams behind Google's Magenta and also IBM's Watson, Silverstein is quick to position Amper as a creative tool to be used by humans rather than something that's going to put artists out of business.
I hope so.
We will see lah. Okay. Now we'll take a short commercial break, but when we come back, we promised you about that, you know, psychopath CEOs. Are you working for one? We'll help you answer that. BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
We promise we won't shout. We won't shout. You're listening to The Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff, together with Audrey. Now, it's time we let you off the hook. We've been teasing you to death about this story on psychopaths, so here it is.
Yes. So it turns out that if you want to be successful in life, I'm going to give you the secret here. All you need to do is be a little psychotic. Mm. So apparently, there's a high number of psychopathic CEOs running businesses in Silicon Valley. And this is what a panel of experts said during a recent conference called Psychopaths in Silicon Valley, A Guide. I would have loved to have attended that conference.
I would definitely attend to this. And this is no joke. Like, it's a real thing. The panel actually consisted of a clinician, a social scientist, a venture capitalist who actually talked about their experiences working with psychopaths along on how to identify and also, of course, deal with them. Mm. And the story was picked up by The Guardian, who, you know, did a little extra research to show why psychopaths are actually so common in the Silicon Valley.
Okay, now sure. Now, a lot of people would look at psychopaths as a negative thing, you know, because it is considered a disorder.
Right.
But turns out that psychopaths might actually be more successful because of the traits that they display.
Ah.
So the clinical psychologist on that panel at the conference, Michael Woodworth, he described a true psychopath as someone that has a blend of emotional, interpersonal, lifestyle, and behavioral deficits, but an uncanny ability to mask all of these traits.
Oh my god, this is so scary. It kind of brings back flashbacks of Dexter. Ooh, like, oh dear. And what makes psychopaths so interesting in business is that they come across as very charming, but they actually lack the remorse and also empathy. And the best part, a study done by Life Science actually showed that about 4-8% of high-level executives in corporate environments are actually psychopaths. That's just crazy. And this is in relation to the 1% of psychopaths in the general population.
So the next time you come across someone who's extremely well-spoken, charming, and looks too good to be true, there just might be a psychopathic mind lurking behind that persona. Hello there, Jeff. You're a pretty charming person. Should I be afraid? Should I?
Maybe. Just maybe. Of course, you know, you might ask, you know, how and why are there so many psychopaths in Silicon Valley? According to the research, the panel's venture capitalist, Brian Stoll, he said that it's totally irrational to start a company, to think about it, and that it actually takes a tremendous amount of ego and self-deception to embark on that journey. Donald Trump, right? So, yeah, it kind of makes sense in a way.
Yeah, and when you think about it even more, because it does take a lot more than
crazy
just wanting...
Amount.
you just you want to start a business, it's going to take a lot of effort. You sacrifice a lot of your personal life to start a business. And of course, there are more sacrifices to make that business successful. Mm. So this is a legit issue, man. I mean, seriously, did you know there's actually a Wikipedia entry on psychopaths in the workplace?
Wow, I didn't know about that. Yeah, but of course, you know, there's also a dark side to working with psychopaths. Hopefully, we haven't really encountered that on my end, thankfully. The VC guys also actually describe on how psychopaths lose their facade when things don't go their way and they lash out. Mm. So the social scientist from the panel, meanwhile, said that while, you know, what makes psychopaths really difficult is actually their willingness to manipulate through deception. Mm. And that could actually lead to poor employee retention, with possibly about 8 to 14 people lost because one of them is a psychopath.
Mm. Mm. So now that we've got you spooked about all these psychopaths running around, you know, I'm sure you want to know how to identify a psychopath. Well, luckily, Life Science also listed down how you can identify one.
Yeah, so turns out as psychopaths are self-absorbed, the best way to identify them is through their speech. As they are psychologically detached, they tend to use past tense more compared to non-psychopaths. And also, they tend to use more uhs and ums, which indicates a lot more careful of what they're actually saying.
I don't know. We do that.
Right? Too many times.
And the speech patterns of a psychopath also usually includes the use of because so that, as they are associated with a cause and effect statement. This is probably because they view actions as what had to be done to achieve something, regardless of whether it was ethical or not. And then they also found that psychopaths use almost twice as many words that related to psychological needs and self-preservation. Things like eating, drinking, and money.
Oh my God, I do all those words though. This is crazy. Now, the solution here is, if you suspect anyone is a psychopath, to communicate via text, as it focuses entirely on their speech patterns and not their physical presence. So take a look at the people around that you work with. You know, is your boss a psychopath? Are you a psychopathic boss yourself? We will tell.
Well, you have all weekend to think about it, you know, and then come prepared on Monday.
Yeah.
And speaking of the weekend, here are some of the enterprise shows of the week that you should try to catch up on via podcast this weekend. The shows you'll be kicking yourself if you missed out.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of stuff. One is, I'm just going to quickly sell, I did an interview with a bot on Tuesday at 1 p.m.
That was quite cool.
Yeah, it's the guys from Hyperlab, Chris Greenough, and also Vic Sitasathan. And it was just really cool because towards the end, I was just talking to a bot. Awesome stuff.
There was also that interview I did with Christine Pamela. She's the creator of Asia's first interchangeable heels brand, Mystery. So it's the kind of a shoe that you can actually slip off the heels and put on the flats.
I saw
that. It's awesome, you know, for the woman on the move. So go look out for Road to Mystery. That podcast is already on the website. And on the app.
Yeah, and a big one coming up later this afternoon on Careers Unusual. Jermaine B spoke to an astronaut, Colonel Chris Hadfield, who has logged nearly 4,000 hours in space. This is the guy who actually sings and, you know, he posts stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
He made that song as well, that very famous Bob Dylan song, I think, as well. So go and check it out. It will be up on the website very soon, but that's coming up next at 1:30 p.m.
Yeah, but coming up first at 12:30 is the Breakfast Grill replay. Melissa Idris spoke to Dato' Teo Leong Seng, the CEO of Eco World International, this morning. It was quite an interesting grill because, you know, they're en route to listing on Bursa on the 3rd of April. So that's one to catch too.
Yeah. And also, this has been the Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Jeff Sandhu and Audrey Raj. And if you've missed out anything, and because we're talking way too fast, we're running out of time and you're like, what are they talking about? Go on to the website or download the app. There are all links to the stories, and enjoy the Friday and the lovely weekend. And again, 1:30 p.m. the interview with the Careers Unusual, the astronaut guy. This has been Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.